Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ecology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this January the 15th on the West Coast, now January the 16th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We would also like to welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world and on BlogTalkRadio.com as well. Lots going on in the world today. A lot of talk about this disaster in Haiti. And all the politicians have to go there and profile. They don't seem to care at all about the poverty there, nor do they care about the slavery that has been going on there for several hundred years. But following an earthquake, they've got to go there and show the voters in America that they really care about what's going on. And I deduce, as well as many others, that there's something far more sinister going on there than what occurred, if you can imagine that. Certainly, we should have those victims in our thoughts and prayers and their families. A lot of people are still suffering and are going to continue to suffer. That said, it's time to bring on tonight's guest. He's our resident science advisor, my weekly guest on Friday nights. And he is a scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher, my good friend Jim Murray. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Don. It's a pleasure to be with you, as usual.
Well, I'm sure you've been following the current events, and you and I have been talking about technology, we've been talking about consciousness, and a few other things over the past few years, actually, and we seem to gravitate back to certain topics, don't we? Certainly when there's a disaster or there's some shenanigans going on behind the scenes, We sort of zero in on those things. And as much as people want to focus on the tragedy, I think we should be focusing also on who causes these tragedies or what causes the tragedies that we're experiencing. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I've picked up on the possible causes of this calamity just as you have. And I find it a really vile possibility that this is a man-made situation using high technology to cause this effect with total disregard for the suffering and death that are a result of the application of this high-tech weapon system. And actually, part of me prays that that isn't true, but I have a sneaking suspicion that it definitely is, because of what that island is actually used for. And Don, you know more about that than I do, so maybe you should elucidate on that aspect of it, and then I'll be happy to come back when we talk further about the weapon systems that might be involved.
Well, I've alluded on past shows and over the years, I've alluded to these international cables that transcend the oceans. If you remember a few years ago, actually, maybe it was just a little over a year ago, we were having all kinds of hocus-pocus going on in the financial community on Wall Street, and the discussion of trillions of dollars all of a sudden came to the forefront. I had been talking about trillions of dollars for several years, and people were saying I was crazy. And now they throw the figure out there like it was always there. And I suppose in some sense it was, but it was never brought to the public's consciousness. Public thought $1 million was a lot of money, or $10 million was a lot of money, or $100 million. And they started acting like millions and billions were nothing. Now the conversation got ramped up to trillions and quadrillions of dollars. Now who plays with that amount of money? Certainly not the average person. The average person is not even conscious of these amounts of money. I've said on other shows it takes 31,710 years to count to a trillion, 1 second at a time. So imagine how long it would take to count $100 trillion, which is what they stole from the Central Bank of Iraq when they invaded Iraq the second time. This is published. This is known. Now, when this incident occurred in, I think it was in the Indian Ocean, and the cables that interconnected Africa and Asia, there were nine separate underwater cables that were destroyed to interfere with the monitoring of all the money laundering that was going on. Cut the cables and they can't track what computer operations are going on. So at that point, they were probably doing their deeds via satellite while everybody was trying to understand why all the communications had been cut. Now, Haiti is an international line that interconnects the United States banks with the Latin American banks and certain banks in Europe and in Africa. In fact, all these banks interconnect via the hub, which is at Haiti. And there's a major investigation going on worldwide. I've been talking about it. It's come to a head where China placed a $47 trillion lien on the United States back in December of 2009. And they started enforcing the lien here in 2010. And that's part of what's going on now. Isn't it interesting that one of the families that is notoriously money laundering and thieving from the Treasury, from the Federal Reserve, from all kinds of government programs, including the Hurricane Katrina Fund, is Bill Clinton? And who do they have as the front man for the public to talk about Haiti? Bill Clinton. Somehow, Bill Clinton is endeared to the black people of this country, although he never gave a damn about anybody in Haiti other than drug traffic that he may have been a part of. And I'm talking about illegal drugs, of course, drug smuggling. The people in Haiti live on probably less than a dollar a day. No one went to Haiti's aid prior to this earthquake. All of a sudden, they want to give them money. For what? You see, this is all smoke and mirrors to me. Certainly, there's been a disaster, but they have the technology. They've been bombarded with hurricanes and all sorts of aberrant weather. And you were referring to these higher technologies. Actually, maybe we should start calling them lower technologies, because they just lower the frequency of the planet. The planet is going to react in some way. We have countless nuclear explosions going off all over the place. Psychics around the world are reporting that they know certain events are caused by nuclear events. Other ones are caused by space weapons that are being used. We had simultaneously earthquakes occurring in the Monterey section of California and out towards the Solomon Islands. You don't hear anything about that. And it's a result of technology being used. Now, is it our government using all of it? So it's quite possible that it's not. This is a weather warfare being waged against us. But if anything, we're in a world war right now, and this is a financial war. And so the type of devastation, they never were concerned about loss of life during wars. That's never been a concern. So why should they be concerned about Haiti? But now the media is asking us to send money. Wait a minute. What about the bailout money? Why don't you take that bailout money and send it over there? Why do we have to dig into our pockets again? And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be compassionate for victims, but this is an orchestrated event. I'm thoroughly convinced. And you can comment.
Well, I agree with you. As a matter of fact, I've seen the advertisements myself, and I really hate to verbalize the emotions that come up in me when I see that that face of Bill Clinton stuck in the TV camera, and he's asking you to send cash. You know, we don't have any guarantee whatsoever that if you did send any money, that it would relieve even one Haitian victim. You know, putting cash in Bill Clinton's hands is just like throwing it off a rooftop, as far as I'm concerned. I wouldn't trust that guy behind a pair of lace curtains.
Yeah, and they just announced this evening Hillary Clinton's going there this weekend as a Secretary of State. You know, they've caught her red-handed. There was a report just a little over a week ago that the FBI's got actual proof of money laundering and embezzlement and theft and all of this stuff. They got the actual proof, and they won't arrest her.
Well, it just goes to show you they're all in it together, even the FBI.
Yeah, so we have a... You know, if it's not that, it's Tiger Woods. They're still talking about Tiger Woods on the radio. And they alternate between this event and Tiger Woods. So Tiger Woods is able to drum up actually more press coverage so far in a couple of weeks than this major disaster. And I see it as another false flag event. And like all false flag events, they have what's called collateral damage. And they're now we're supposed to rebuild Haiti. This is what they're saying, too. Why are we supposed to rebuild Haiti? What did we do to it? You see, those that are in power, those that handle the money, certainly knew the condition that country has been in for hundreds of years. But it serves another purpose. And who owns Haiti right now? Is Haiti still a colony? Is it a French colony or what? I don't know.
Well, as I recall, wasn't Haiti the whole island is off the tip of Cuba, southern tip of Cuba, if I remember correctly. And isn't it just sort of divided in half? Half of Haiti is Haiti, and the other half of it is the Dominican Republic or something, isn't it? Isn't it a split nation island?
I don't think it is. I may be wrong, but maybe one of our listeners will tell us. Of course, I could Google it, I guess.
Anyway, whoever owns it is obviously in bed with all the rest of the stuff that's going on. The mere fact that they would place these cable trunk terminal points, you know, on that island is automatically giving you a clue as to what's going on. You wouldn't see them putting that type of repeater technology, you know, in a high-tech environment where everybody would know what its purpose is. But, you know, by placing it on an island that's greatly remote as far as the mainland is concerned, and also peopled by individuals that are just scraping by, mm-hmm. they're certainly not going to be in a position to worry about what is that strange building for, or what are these cable heads for, or anything of that sort.
Yeah. Okay, to answer your question, you are correct. Actually, the western third of the island is Haiti, and the eastern two-thirds is the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, I thought that was the case. But and if I remember correctly, one of them was under the auspices of one colonial country, and the other was with another, and I don't remember who it was, whether it was the French and the Dutch, or the British and the Dutch, or, you know, something of that sort. But anyway, that goes back quite a ways. I think Haiti got their independence, didn't they, a while back?
Yeah. They got it, let's see, I was looking at that. They got it in 1821, and evidently they had to regain it again in 1844. So the French and the Spanish were primarily there. I know they speak French in Haiti.
Yeah.
Now, don't you find it interesting that the Major League Baseball goes to the Dominican Republic to find candidates for professional baseball, but they won't go to Haiti to do that? Right there on the same island. I mean, it's like two different worlds.
Well, you know, when I worked in the shipyards years ago, I had a very dear friend who was from the Dominican Republic. And he introduced me to a lot of his neighbors and such that had also come to the New York area, you know, to find work. And they are really bright, interesting, wonderful people. And the strange part about it is that they didn't really have a whole lot to say about the people on the other side of the island. I mean, it was like, as far as they were concerned, that wall, or whatever they used to divide the two countries, like you say, it almost was responsible for creating a different world. But all of them did say, without exception, that it was a world of incredible poverty. And, of course, I've never been there, but I can certainly understand that that may well be the case.
Yeah, well, When you consider the state of the buildings, that all these massive buildings, even a hospital collapsed, they weren't built with the integrity of more affluent areas in the world. So when you have an event like an earthquake, you're going to have tremendous devastation. The thing that makes the most sense to me is why Haiti suffered. What about the surrounding areas? What about, are you hearing anything about the Dominican Republic? Why is it just Haiti that's suffering? Is it because of the building codes that all these buildings collapsed?
Well, it could be, because I tell you, I saw the flicks of the damage just like you did. And one of the things that went through my mind was, even though I'm not a civil engineer, you don't have to be overly bright to notice the substandard material selection and the proportion of the different supports and stuff. And, you know, they're probably barely functional. So it wouldn't really take that much to wipe it out. And then, of course, all that rubble falls on people who are, you know, in these buildings when the event occurs. It makes for a totally devastating situation. A lot of loss of life, I understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, now, those dates, by the way, I was giving you, those were for the Dominican Republic. As far as Haiti goes, Haiti is considered to be a Francophone independent nation.
Well, that's an interesting statement, because it makes you wonder what the law structure is for a nation that is in that category. Maybe it's a place where you can get away with a lot of things that you can't do elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Not that that would necessarily have any bearing on the local population, but perhaps to the big players, it's an important consideration.
Interesting statement in this Wikipedia article. And I did say Wikipedia. Speaking about Haiti, it is one of only two independent nations in the Western Hemisphere, along with Canada, that designates French as an official language. That's the caveat there.
Interesting.
What is the definition of an independent nation? That's an interesting comment there. I thought all.
Well, that's why I brought up the point about the laws that would be, you know, associated with a so-called independent nation.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you know, what treaties do they entertain, and what other functions might be capable of being directed from a nation of that sort that you couldn't pull off anywhere else.
Yeah.
So I've come to realize one thing, Don. In this world, nothing is by accident. And if you really want to understand what's going on, look at everything from the standpoint of how it affects the flow of illicit funds. And you'll start to see a clearer picture. Now, I've never really given any thought to this issue before tonight, but I'll bet you if you did a little digging, you'd find out a lot.
Mm-hmm. You remember the movie Papillon?
Absolutely. Very clearly.
Yeah, Steve McQueen and Dustin Hoffman were the main characters in that. And they were on an island. They were prisoners.
That was Devil's Island.
Yeah.
Which is off the coast of, Guyana?
Mm-hmm.
Guyana. I think it's off the coast of Guyana, French Guyana.
So you would presume that Haiti is a country much like that, only you got 9 million people living like that.
Wow.
They actually probably had it better on Devil's Island, I think. So it's amazing.
Well, getting Haiti, back to the cause of the earthquake.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, first of all, there's a surprisingly large number of articles appearing on the Internet that seem to tie this catastrophe to the use of some type of nuclear weapon. And then there was also an awful lot of comments regarding the fact that it was done with a Tesla-type earthquake machine. You know, I don't know what to say about that, but I would sure like to muse on it, because it would be just like the powers that be to bastardize a concept of Tesla's into something that's used for ill rather than good. But the one thing that stands out in a very obvious manner is the fact that if it was a nuclear device, then it certainly didn't incorporate a Tesla principle, because he prided himself on the fact that you could cause large amounts of damage or very big effects, you know, with a very small amount of power, and that was his whole driving MO. But and it could be directionalized due to the fact that it's a resonant phenomenon. Whereas, you know, planting a nuclear device on a fault line or some other geologic condition that would result in a local earthquake is really another approach to the problem altogether.
Yeah, you know, when I think of, you know, some people are looking at this as an act of God. Of course, the media would try to portray it as such. Now, what have the Haitians done to earn the wrath of God in this manner? Really, what have they done as a people?
Nothing. What can they do? They have nothing. You know, they're just basically scraping by. I'll tell you when you know it's an act of God is when you see New York City slide into New York Harbor or something of that sort. Then it'll probably be an act of God.
And I'm not hearing about collateral damage in any other area. I'm not hearing anything about Cuba or the Dominican Republic or any of the other islands in the Antilles there. Just Haiti. Now, earthquakes tend to be that way. the San Francisco quake was felt all the way down to San Diego and up in Washington State. I mean, it travels a very wide area. Certainly, there must have been some damage or some notice of this elsewhere, which leads me to think that it was something more centrally located, like a bomb, for example.
Yeah, I would tend to believe that also, because it doesn't make any sense. And the other thing that's interesting, of course, we just got through describing the formation of the island, and that landmass shares both between Haiti and the Dominican Republic. And like you said, it's very strange. You haven't heard a peep out of those people. It's pretty hard for me to imagine that even if a bomb was used, that it wouldn't affect people. You know, that's a small island. It's not that big. It's hard for me to believe it would only affect the one half where the Haitians live.
Mm-hmm. Now, I mentioned when you gave me the opportunity to sort of give the background as to why Haiti might be targeted. There's this massive international financial corruption that's been going on, and they've been getting to the bottom of it. Now, trust me, I don't put all my faith in the World Bank or the Bank for International Settlements or the World Court or any of them. Just because of the bribery and the flip-flopping that's going on. You know who the culprits are. You know this is massive organized crime. Stop it. Put a stop to it. I was sent... one of our listeners sent us a link to an MSNBC article. Now, I mentioned the cables that interface with the bank system. The headline of this article is, "Earthquake Disrupts Key Payments Lifeline. Cash is king in Haiti and system to distribute remittances is in shambles." Now, they're just talking about the people who are working outside of Haiti sending money back to the country, when in reality, that's smoke and mirrors there. Absolute smoke and mirrors. The story is not true. Now, the remittances they're talking about in this article are to be about $1.2 billion in 2009. And because of this earthquake, that disrupted this. This backs up what I just said. Only they're putting the spin on the story. They're certainly not going to tell you the reason for this occurring. No, this was a man-made act. No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you know, it would be very interesting to try to get to the bottom of it. I mean, it's a shame that you didn't have more time to tune into it psychically. I would love to know, you know, who it is that might be, you know, the actual trigger element in this situation. There's a lot of talk that the United States Navy was involved. Of course, I wouldn't doubt it, but on the other hand, shame if they are. But then, well, our government seems to be sticking their fingers in an awful lot of pies these days.
Yeah, I've been following the corruption, and there have been a lot of reports coming out as to what's going on with the settlement monies and the Tier 10 payments and the interference with those payments by world leaders, mind you. There have been quite a few revelations, too, as to certain individuals being horizontalized. That's the new term that we're seeing now.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about that. The interesting thing, too, since you brought it up about the world leaders that are involved, when they've been caught red-handed and they're so brazen that they're not even concerned, their attitude is like, "No, don't bother me with the legal trivia. You know, I want this, you know, this 50 trillion or 5.9 trillion or whatever the number is for my country, so that we we can continue on with our way of life. And, of course, the way of life that they're referring to is as crooked as a dog's hind leg, because it's all tied in with the fiat money system, which has been propagated across a very large portion of the globe.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, this certainly goes into politics and all the game, but politics is the smokescreen for the organized crime behind the scenes. And they're all part of it. There is no doubt about it. I've heard some very interesting research from some different people, and it resonates with me. When I hear somebody describe the organized crime families in Chicago, historically, who they were, and even in the days before Al Capone, and where they came from, who they were. And, you know, everybody thinks that the mafia is just Italians. No, it is not. And the organized crime is international in nature because of the way it operates. It's not something that just affects a couple of large cities in the United States or a couple of large cities in Europe. It's everywhere. It's everywhere, and it's moved into every dimension of society. It's moved into education. It's certainly moved into healthcare. My God, they're trying to murder billions of people with vaccinations. Tell me it's not. What ethical person in the medical community would promote vaccinations of a lethal kind? And not just bird flu or swine flu or SARS vaccines. You've got young girls getting Gardasil vaccines, coming up with all kinds of diseases, or dying, flat out dying, shortly after getting these vaccinations. The insanity, the vibration, you know, I guess maybe this is where we could tie this into to how the earth is perceiving all of this. You can only put out a vibration of any kind, say a sound vibration, for so long without causing some kind of collateral damage. Standing waves can do that. A perfect example is when there's an explosion. The percussive nature of the explosion causes standing waves that travel, and they're low frequency, and they move long distances until they hit something, and they either reflect or bounce off of that object, or they cause that object to be destroyed. Glass is a perfect example. It can't withstand the pressure and the intensity of a standing wave. And if it can't handle the vibrations that it has to endure when that wave hits, it explodes. So imagine putting out these types of vibrations all over this planet and being the planet, being conscious of what's happening, and finally just getting disgusted with it all. And I think the earth is at that place. To have, you know, somebody digging into you with nuclear boring machines day and night, creating tunnels and underground bases and caverns and all the things they do to hide everything. You know, the earth feels those vibrations. The earth feels their intent and is quite capable on her own of expelling them, sort of like the Heimlich maneuver. Do you want to comment on that, Jim? I know you're chomping at the bit, probably.
Well, no, actually, it is an area that concerns me greatly, because it's absolutely true. The planet, you might say, is created in such a way that it will only tolerate so much negativity. You know, you start doing a little bit of reading on the oldest records that we have in association with mankind's history, and I don't care which continent you're on or which society you want to investigate, every one of them talks about the existence of prior civilizations that were greater than our own, and the fact that they've all come to an untimely demise. And in some of them, like the Popol Vuh, for instance, the Mahabharata, you know, different ancient documents from places like India, which has a really long history, China, the Mexican area and Central America, they talk about the fact, even the Hopi, for that matter, the Hopi Indians in the Southwest, they talk about the fact that there's been five or six different worlds, as they call them, which preceded our own and which were destroyed. And that history is, in effect, a cyclic phenomenon, not a linear one. And if that's the case, it would do us well to give consideration to, well, what is it that causes these cycles of history? And I think it's the inherent evil in human society, the greed, the apathy, the total disregard for the laws of God and nature. You know, things reach a certain point, the earth just says, okay, that's it. You know, time for a pole shift. And I got news for you. You think the tsunami was damaging? You know, what's going to happen when the earth revolves a quarter turn on its, it's not the whole planet that does it, incidentally, it's the outer skin that does it. But when that happens and there's a quarter turn shift, it happens at a high rate of speed. And the inertia of the seas is such that they're not going to go anywhere. The land will slip beneath them. And you have waves, you know, 6 and 8 miles high, and winds that are in excess of probably 1,500, 1,800 miles an hour. And God only knows what sort of telluric effects are going to accompany something like this. The tragedy of it is that it's the bad eggs in the basket that bring this on. But humanity as a whole has to endure the lesson. And part of the reason for that, at least in my opinion, is the fact that there's two sides to this coin of sin. The one side is the people that are actively plotting and conniving, you know, to subjugate the rest of humanity and have no concern whatsoever for the plight of the planet. They're just driven by greed and all of the negative aspects of their character. But the other side of the coin is composed of the people who are totally apathetic. They don't do a thing, even if they know what's going on, because they don't want to rock the boat. And so when you add it all up, you know, the negativity is it probably outweighs the people that try to do good. And when that happens, I think the vibration gets low enough that old Mother Earth just does a somersault and resets the stage. But I wouldn't be surprised if that happens in our lifetime. I hope it doesn't. It'll wreck my plans. But what are you going to do? You know, the laws of nature are the laws of nature.
Yeah.
But I can tell you one thing. It's definitely happened before. You know, physics is my main interest, but I have had an interest in archaeology ever since I was about 6 years old. And I've read copiously on this subject, and I can tell you, the world is peppered with the remains of many, many civilizations, not just one or two. So when these things happen, they happen globally. And people should keep that in mind.
Yeah, to a large extent, a lot of that information has been suppressed, so that we are not aware. It's always a matter of us being lied to about who we are, and all the technology being designed to suppress the self expression of who we are, or the self realization of who we are. And the consequential collective realization of who we are. the system is designed to take away power, as if that's just decreed, and then it's a given conclusion that that has to occur. With no questioning. Oh, they said that we have to do this. We have to take our shoes off at the airport. That makes flying more safe. Excuse me. What am I missing in that? You know, because they set up a false flag event, or they told us there was a false flag event. Oh, you know, it's and when I consider what you just described about a potential polar shift and the fact that the Earth is already spinning at 1,000 miles an hour, you think that polar shift is going to cause some ripples in the electromagnetic nature of the Earth's spin and what sits on it? Oh, my goodness.
Well, actually, I've done quite an interesting study on the possibility of what can happen. And aside from the fact that there's probably going to be extraordinarily violent thunder and lightning storms that accompany this, believe it or not, one of the worst effects has to do with the fact that the Earth is a spheroid or an obloid. It's not a perfectly round ball. And as a result of that, when the skin of the Earth shifts, the angular momentum of the totality of the planet is going to be locked in space. It can't move. And so that when the skin is forced to realign because of these other forces that are brought to bear upon it, as they pass this global bulge, so to speak, the forces that will be generated by this change on the upper crust, it's just unbelievable. It's going to be like putting it through a dicing machine. And this is the reason why all these mountain ranges and the shifting of oceans and all this other stuff. You know, sure, there's two ways that it can happen. The normal way everybody likes to think about it is that these changes occur placidly over hundreds of millions of years, and, you know, everybody has a chance to acclimate and this and that. Well, that may very well be true. But if and when you have this type of a rearrangement of the planet, there's no time for that kind of nonsense. This happens, you know, within literally minutes. And if you stop and think about the trauma that's recorded just in the fossil record having to do with animals, you know, it's so obvious that something of a horrific nature occurred. You've got entire herds of mammoths that they're still digging up, you know, out of the Siberian wilderness that have semi-tropical plants in their mouths. So you know darn well that they weren't at the poles when they were eating lunch. And you've got areas where they have mass graves of hundreds and hundreds of different types of animals, all just rolled into a huge ball and crammed into, you know, a collage of mud and tree stumps and permafrost and God knows what else, as if some mighty hand just swept that right off the face of the earth and packed it in like you make an ice ball or a snowball. And, you know, the other effects that are associated with human habitation, like, for instance, in South America, there's a lot of evidence that the Andes Mountains, as we know them today, may actually have been shoved up during the time of human occupation, with disastrous effects on any population that happened to exist. The city of Tiahuanaco, a lot of people have the theory that it was originally a seaport. Now it's up at 14,000 feet. You know, these kind of changes are not what you call long, slow changes that allow for acclimation. These are the types of things that human beings consider absolutely catastrophic. And with winds like that and lightning bolts and movements of the seas that, you know, occupy a depth of certainly 3 or 4 miles, in a lot of places 5 and 6 miles, you're going to have mountains of water moving across the planet, you know, seeking rearrangement. And between the water and the wind and the fires and the earthquakes that result from the crust fracturing, I think it's going to be a real first-class enema for our planet.
Yeah, and the sad thing, Jim, is this doesn't have to occur. It wouldn't have to occur if there was a consciousness practiced and lived, by humanity. But there is a certain amount of the responsibility has to be assigned to those that run the game. And
well,
and
then, the other batch of people who are guilty are the apathetic, the ones, you know, who stand by and let it happen. I mean, you have to be honest that this kind of thing can certainly be nipped in the bud, or could have been nipped in the bud, if people really had the gumption and the morality to say, hey, we're not going to have that here. But no, you know, they take bribes. They say, oh, I can't rock the boat. I can't get involved. Well, now look at it. It's so convoluted and so disgusting that, you know, in some respects, maybe the only solution is to start over again. I don't know about you, but I've actually contemplated, if I had absolute control over the whole planet, personally, where would you start the cleanup? And while you can come up with some interesting ideas, but the fact of the matter is, it's no longer a dirty spot here and a dirty spot there and a dirty spot over here. It's literally a fabric totally interwoven around the planet. And amongst the strands of this fabric, you have these poor slobs that are just struggling to exist, and you have your average everyday people, and you have good people, and you have got, you know, the organized crime folks all embedded in this entanglement. So how do you clean it up? It's a challenge.
Yeah, it certainly raises questions when you think about, you have to go outside the box. You have to look at it from the outside at that point and consider the creation and the intent that was there. When everything that exists in the universe came about, what was its purpose? What was its state? Certainly, there was free will. I sincerely doubt that the free will was intended to watch itself destroy itself. That's how insane this got. No.
Well, you know, there can be free will, but there can also be limitations put on it, and that's something that's interesting because people don't think about it. What I mean by that is, you know, the creator may very well have said, okay, here is a basic guideline, but you do have free will. You don't have to follow this. But then if it gets too far out of hand, you know, it's like an oscillating system. If the oscillations become too severe and resonance goes unchecked, it destroys itself because it can't contain, it cannot contain the effects that it has labored to generate.
Yeah.
And I don't see any reason why there can't be an analogy to that in social organizations. So even if an organization has free will, if the oscillations get too out of hand and become unbalanced where, you know, evil goes too far, there may be a second mechanism in place which just says, okay, you didn't learn this cycle, time to start over, better luck next time.
Well, it seems to me that the creation, in its wisdom, had integrity. And that seems to be a characteristic that's sorely missing from all structures these days. whether it's the buildings in Haiti or the skyscrapers in New York City or other financial centers around the world. These things have gotten this neck of the woods out of balance. There's no doubt about it. I would presume that the Earth is quite ticked off just as just with what's going on in the building market. And all of the natural resources that are part of the Earth, not necessarily meant for us to plunder, are serving another purpose. They're there for another purpose other than how we're using them.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's like, if you look at the world from that perspective that you just described, you can liken that to the situation that allows a single individual to live. What I mean by that is, you know, we like to look in the mirror and say, oh, I know who that fellow is. Isn't he young and handsome and debonair, et cetera, et cetera? And won't he look good in this suit or that set of clothes? And we identify ourselves with an image of who we like to think we are. But if you go below the surface, you find out that there are legions of other life forms that live upon us and within us. And we cannot survive without them. You know, there's the various bugs in our intestines. There's all sorts of tiny microscopic creatures always crawling around on our skin. There are systems in the blood and in the DNA, in the manufacturing and replication of DNA that are so complex and represent, you might say, a foreign intelligence to a certain extent. And all these things make up that image that you see in the mirror. And even if you don't understand what they're all there for, you daresn't get rid of any of them because you'll immediately go off kilter. And that's the same thing with the organization of life around our planet. Who has the wisdom to say, oh, we don't need deer anymore? Oh, it doesn't matter that the mammoths are extinct. Or what difference does it make if we wiped out the dodo? You know, nobody has the intelligence to know the effect that that has on the world ecosystem. And it's only man's arrogance and his disgusting new way of looking at things that allows this type of activity to go on. If you look at some of the more ancient ways of thinking, animal life and the planet were held in high regard. Look at the attitude of the Native American. You know, they only took what they needed to survive, and they understood instinctively that nobody owned the land. They were horrified at the notion that the white man can come along and say, well, this is our land. Look, I got a piece of paper that says that. They thought they were crazy. And, you know, it's this attitude that is so sickening. We do it with everything that we're takers. That's what it comes down to. That's what we're called. We're takers. We assume that the earth is for only our use. You know, we'll rape a mountain just to get at, you know, some iron ore or some gold or something else. And we'll cut down millions and millions of acres of rainforest because it suits us to do so. And if the animal life gets killed in the process, tough, they shouldn't be there. You know, and what about the native individuals that happen to occupy a certain tract of land that we want? Do you know that when they were opening up South Africa and some of the other remote areas, that hunting expeditions were actually formed and licenses were issued to shoot natives? You know, this went on in Africa, went on in South America, went on in Borneo. You know, people actually went hunting to kill off the indigenous individuals. Those kinds of crimes register in the general consciousness of this planet. And we will pay for that. I don't know when. I'm not a prophet. But I'll bet my soul on the fact that it will happen. You can't plunder and disregard the laws of God and nature indefinitely. And I'm not even what you would call a religious person. I'm just an observer. And I can see, just from my perspective, that something's going to happen if we don't pull in on the reins.
No doubt about it. I was looking at something, listening to you. Here's a little background on Haiti. This is during the time when Christopher Columbus arrived. The Spaniards exploited the island for its gold, mined chiefly by local Amerindians, directed by the Spanish occupiers. Those refusing to work in the mines were killed or sold into slavery. Now, keep in mind that the people that are there have been brought there through slavery. Okay. Europeans brought with them chronic infectious diseases. It seems like that's going on today, too, is it not? With our advanced medicine and our vaccinations. These infectious diseases that were new to the Caribbean, to which the indigenous population lacked immunity. These new diseases were the chief cause of the dying off of the Taino, but ill treatment, malnutrition, and a drastic drop in the birth rate as a result of societal disruption also contributed. Listen to that, societal disruption. The first recorded smallpox outbreak in the Americas occurred on Hispaniola in 1507. So here we are now, 502 years later. Has anyone learned from these lessons?
Apparently not.
Apparently not. But the Earth has got to be keeping tabs on this, I would presume.
Well, it's funny you should mention the thing about the smallpox. I remember reading that when they started their unspoken genocide against the Native Americans in this country, that one of the first things they did was to give gifts of blankets, which had been used in hospitals in Europe with smallpox outbreaks. And that's a form of germ warfare. And it wiped out literally hundreds of thousands of Indians. And, you know, I can just see in my mind's eye that when that happens, you know, various individuals who are responsible for it slapping each other on the back while they toke on these big fat cigars and drinking brandy and laughing at the stupidity of the indigenous population for accepting the gifts. That's pure evil. You know, that resonates, and as you say, gets stored in the consciousness of the planet. We'll pay for that. All of us will. Not just the people in question. All of us will pay for it. Because we didn't have the honor and the integrity to prevent it.
Yeah.
And that's a consequence that we can't avoid.
Yeah.
Sooner or later it'll happen.
Well, Jim, we're out of time, but I want to close with a general comment that, you know, to turn our heads away and pretend that this is not occurring is as bad as participating in the act itself that brought all this destruction about. Let's say in Haiti, and this isn't a show just on Haiti. We certainly can use this current event as a living example of what we're talking about here. We've got the same types of issues here in America. We've got many homeless people who have been driven illegally out of their homes, and they're enduring these earthquakes in California, living outside with no food, no water, no shelter, and they're out there in the elements. Maybe if they're lucky, they've got a cardboard box that they can drape over their shoulders or over their heads in the snow or the rain. I mean, you're not hearing anything about this. So the media beating the drums of fear and confusion and chaos in drumming this story of Haiti, which in a humanitarian sense is important, yet it's not the only problem that we have going on right now. And the refusal to go to the aid of people, you know, they're real big on creating TV shows where they get a bunch of corporations to build a house in a week for a family. They'll advertise the heck out of that, but they won't do anything to give, to put people who are literally living out on the street under a roof, in a warm, dry place with at least one meal a day, let alone three. The hypocrisy is overwhelming. Any comment you'd like to close out with?
No, I only could reiterate, you know, but in closing, maybe I should at least clarify one thing, and that is that, you know, you kept on talking about the fact that the Earth is conscious of this stuff and it remembers it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's exactly what is represented by the Akashic Record that, you know, the yogis and sensitives have been talking about for thousands of years. It is, in fact, the racial memory or the planetary memory where all this stuff is stored. And while that may not mean beans to the average individual, the fact of the matter is it's accessible to anybody that chooses to develop the talents to allow them to read that record. And, you know, anybody that has that capability should start gazing into the past, because without learning from our past mistakes, we're forced to repeat them. That's for sure.
Yes. Well, well said, Jim. We're out of time. Here we are, another weekend has come upon us, but you'll be with us again next Friday. So I look forward to that. I want to wish you a great weekend. And if you come up with any solutions over the weekend, please contact me. All right?
I'll be happy to.
All right. Thanks for being on the show. Folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and tonight's special guest, and every Friday night, Mr. Jim Murray, and he'll be with us again next week. Also, I'd like to thank Windtalkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com for carrying the show. At BBS, special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in or keeping our heads up with some of the articles that are popping up. I wish everyone a great weekend and a night filled with peace, love, and light. Have a good night.